So we've talked about this a bunch on the program. Higher education is facing enormous disruptions in technology, demographics, business model, even basic questions about the value of a college education. It has brought every aspect of the college experience into new scrutiny, including one of the real perceived perks and joys of the college years, studying abroad.
Hi, this is Donna Harrison. I studied in Geneva, Switzerland my junior year, and it was the best experience of my life. I loved functioning in another culture and another language. My French was imperfect, but it improved, and I have kept up with it all these years later. I have friends in France still and travel there often. I think that year molded me into a person with a much more international viewpoint than before.
And Donna there from Oakland, California, who answered the call, we asked all of you for your study abroad experiences. Donna, I am not here to throw rain on your parade. It turns out that Donna's experience may be more rare in the future, though. It's already pretty rare. In the 2010-2011 academic year, only about 1% of U.S. college students studied abroad for academic credit. So we posed the question of the value of study abroad programs to two people with very different viewpoints. Mark Salisbury joined us via Skype. He's the director of institutional research and assessment at Augustana College in Illinois, who supports study abroad with some adjustments to the way it's currently run.
Any kind of experience like a study abroad experience is one in which you sort of have this, what we call in educational parlance, a disequilibrating experience, something that really shakes you and puts you out of your comfort zone, at least ideally. And then the learning that really matters is what happens after that experience and how you make sense of it. And so assessing the impact of study abroad educationally really has to do much more with how does that experience get integrated into who that person is after they've returned.
And that's certainly the stories that we're getting from some of our listeners. Curtis Chin joins us now, who served as the United States Ambassador to the Asian Development Bank from 2007 to 2010 and is the managing director of River Peak Group, an advisory firm. Curtis, welcome.
And thank you.
You know, people are telling us that my study abroad program made sure that my language was good enough that I could get a job at a, you know, fast developing Chinese consulting firm. Is that story rare or the kind of thing that you should count on if you study abroad?
I think it's just one of many anecdotes, certainly a great one, and we can't take away the great experience that many students do have in studying abroad. But, you know, it seems I've sparked a debate with a New York Times opinion piece I wrote. But the question that was posed then was, is study abroad essential for our American students? And I clearly argue a no. I mean, who are we talking about? When you look at the numbers, we have probably some 21 million students, right, American students studying in post-secondary schools. And of that, some 274,000, I saw were the last numbers, actually go overseas to study. You know, we don't have any data. We have anecdotes about their experience, but we know who those people are. The typical study abroad student is a junior, female, some 64% of them are female, and overwhelmingly they're white. 77, 78% of them are white. What I argue is let's focus on taking care of all of our students. Certainly it'd be great if everyone could study overseas. Let's be realistic and take care of the people that are studying here in the United States. I think that's what I'm arguing.
Mark Salisbury, are the resources devoted to study abroad detracting from more important issues that students and colleges need to address?
Well, that's a question that really needs to be thought of in terms of the institutional type. So if you're talking about elite liberal arts colleges with massive endowments, there's plenty of resources to fund study abroad, and the students at those institutions oftentimes have the money to put towards studying abroad themselves. At a regional public institution, at a community college, for example, those institutions struggle mightily financially, and to spend a lot of extra money on trying to build a study abroad infrastructure might not be the best use of resources.
Curtis, you know, I don't want to prejudice the debate here, but America's a very isolated country culturally, even for all of its diversity. I can't imagine there's much of a downside of studying abroad for people who really need a wider view trapped in the bubble of the United States, Curtis?
Yeah, but you know, you made a great point about, and so did Mark, about getting out of your comfort zone. America is such a diverse, you know, great place. Wouldn't it be great if we had more students stay in the United States but get out of their comfort zone by maybe studying, working, volunteering in a community that's predominantly African American or Asian American? There's so many ways students can get out of their comfort zone in the United States. I was just having a conversation with a friend here who said, you know, One of his friends had never been to Koreatown in LA, never had Korean food. But is the answer for that person, well, let's find some money for you to go study in Seoul, Korea? I don't think so. But maybe colleges, universities, and high schools could help our students get out of their comfort zones by taking great advantage of the diversity that is the United States. You know, when I looked at the places actually where our students do go study abroad for that small, small minority that does get the chance to go abroad, when I looked at the top 10 places they go overseas, I think some 7 of them were in Europe. They're going to Italy, they're going to Spain, they're going to France. China, thank goodness, does make that top 10 list. But again, if our goal is to get people out of their comfort zone, let's begin in the United States.
All right, Curtis, let me get a comment from Mark Salisbury before we go. What do you think about that college credit for experiencing the diversity in the United States? Doable?
It's doable, and there are lots of institutions that do it. I just think that I'd like to add the one thing that we probably need to do is flip this conversation so that it's not about just having the experience, but it's about the learning that needs to come from it. If the learning is about cross-cultural skills, there's lots of ways that one can do that, as we've just discussed. But it's not about the experience so much as it's about the learning.
Shifting the debate to getting a more cross-cultural experience, whether you study abroad or experience the diversity in the United States. Mark Salisbury, Director of Institutional Research and Assessment at Augustana College in Illinois, and Curtis S. Chin, former United States Ambassador to the Asian Development Bank. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's hear some more of your study abroad experiences.
In 2000, I studied abroad in South Africa and Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. We were studying South African history, the effects of apartheid. I just learned such lifelong insights about race relations, poverty.
I studied Spanish in Cuernavaca, Mexico for a semester, and it was the best 5 months of my life.
Not such great reviews from Rachel, who wrote this on our Facebook page. The cost was absolutely not worth it. $20,000 on top of the rest of my debt. And since the government was cutting jobs when I graduated, my degree in international studies got me nowhere. Call us with your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily workouts are designed to improve memory and attention. Dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. It's all at Lumosity.com.